brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network. Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Joe Jameson.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with the Cannabis Entrepreneur News, episode 001-828-2013. I'm going to be bringing you guys some news stories like I do the Cannabis Bee. Right now, I got a green light on one of my projects. I might have found a co-founder, and this project should be big. It'll be big for the cannabis entrepreneur. Right now, I'm an entrepreneur myself, and if I would take the time and spend the time on scheduling interviews and doing interviews and then doing all the post-production, I'd be wasting time. Right now, I need to be focused on the one task at completing this project and making it and taking it live. So, just hold in there, hang in there. I'll be bringing something big soon. All right, let's roll into article number one, legalized pot, our exclusive look inside America's emerging marijuana industry by Business Insider. Take it away.
Legalized pot, our exclusive look inside America's emerging marijuana industry by Walter Hickey. Source, Business Insider. In Denver, Colorado, something is happening that has not occurred on U.S. soil for decades. A hot commodity that many people love is completing the transition from a black market to a medicalized market to a fully legal market, something unseen in the United States since the repeal of the 18th Amendment. 42% of Americans have used it. Prominent doctors are enthusiastically endorsing it. The substance is not chemically addictive and has demonstrated medical uses. Plus, smoking it is considered quite fun by enthusiasts. We're talking, of course, about cannabis. Media coverage of the marijuana business and legalization effort has relied on lame puns, tired jokes, or totally modern references to a 1936 film about marijuana. Stories are typically accompanied by a picture of a person smoking the largest joint you've ever seen. But let's get down to brass tacks. In Colorado, the market for direct sales of cannabis is estimated to be approximately $600 million in the first year of legalization. That doesn't factor in the booming sector of business services, security, software, capital investment, advertising working on the sidelines and catering to the people directly involved in selling marijuana. In essence, the levity that tinges the coverage of marijuana makes people forget that this is a huge market. Colorado anticipates a $130.1 million increase to state revenue because of marijuana legalization, which is nothing to smirk at. I flew out to Colorado a few weeks ago to see what it's like to build an industry from the ground up. I talked to the entrepreneurs who are defining what a well-regulated legal marijuana market can achieve. I talked to the activists and lobbyists who were there every step of the way to legalization. I spoke with startups and established brands, with businesses that have attracted the attention of Wall Street as well as those that handle marijuana on a daily basis. To see an emerging market up close and in action, we'll have interviews with entrepreneurs who are making marijuana possible, like Canna Security, the security company that make the industry safe, or Weed Maps, the internet startup that plans to be the ESPN of pot. We'll also look back and see how marijuana became legal in Colorado, a shining example of involved democracy that should make you proud to be an American, and where the people working on it see marijuana coming next. I spoke to attorneys who left cushy corporate jobs to become the legal resource that an industry in this growth phase desperately needs, and agriculture specialists who view growing the best marijuana on the market as their next big goal. We'll also look into some of the biggest challenges facing entrepreneurs in the Colorado marijuana industry: production issues, banking restrictions, how exactly people who sell marijuana for a living pay taxes. We'll also talk about the marijuana that the entrepreneurs smoke, how they name it, and how to get a job in the business. We'll also talk about the heartbreaking stories of marijuana patients, and the generous philanthropy the Kings of Denver Marijuana organize. What's happening in Denver is something very special, something that we're not going to see again in a long time. Entrepreneurs built an industry from nothing, dragging it from illegitimacy to the point that it's easier to buy cannabis than Sudafed. What comes next after legalization is something this country hasn't seen in generations. Colorado, for the first time in 150 years, is about to have a gold rush. Let's see how they're preparing for it. Longer have to fly to a brick country. All you really need is a ticket to Denver. Over the next several days, we'll take you on tours of the facilities growing and selling marijuana. We'll show you how state-of-the-art scientific techniques are being used to analyze the marijuana on the market on a scientific level.
Article number 2. Regulator warns of pot stock scams. From SF Gate Blog. Take it away.
Regulator warns of pot stock scams. By Ben Livingston. Source, SF Gate Blog. With 20 states allowing medical cannabis and Colorado and Washington state set to license recreational pot shops in 2014, the number of publicly traded, over-the-counter marijuana companies is on the rise. The problem, according to the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, is that many of them are affinity fraud schemes designed to separate starry-eyed smokers from their investment money. Stopping short of naming any names, the report noted that most of the scammy stocks trade on the over-the-counter bulletin board OTCBB, operated by the regulatory agency. They are little more than the traditional pump-and-dump scheme where investors tout a penny stock then offload their shares once that stock increases in price. But the new generation of pot stock schemes also mixes in affinity fraud, hooking gullible investors because they believe cannabis should be legal and that, by extension, pot stocks can either support or profit from that moral position. So do your research before buying into the green rush. Here are some tips from FINRA. 1. Why me? If an offer seems too good to be true, it probably is. You might have been let into the get-rich-quick cannabis club, but you might just be another sucker at the bottom of the pyramid. 2. Who is selling me? Anyone can affect a penny stock price with an internet post. After voters legalized pot in two states, various small-cap internet sites published articles alternately promoting and discouraging certain pot penny stocks, causing the prices to fluctuate dramatically in a short period of time. 3. OTC means no standards. There are no minimum standards for a company to be listed on the over-the-counter penny stock boards. Any would-be pot entrepreneur can take a company public. 4. Research the company. Most pot companies have not existed for long. Some of them have little to no revenue, but have massive on-paper stock transfers that are claimed as revenue. They then claim to have millions in business, but that business consisted mainly of buying another pot stock company in exchange for some of their pot stocks. 5. Check for reliable SEC filings. Generally, penny stock companies have no legal requirements to file paperwork with industry regulators, and most of them don't. And when they do, such reports may raise red flags. 6. Beware frequent changes. Many of the scammy pot stocks were involved in a different industry last year. In the world of penny stocks, a surprising amount of mostly mothballed companies are waiting for an entrepreneur to breathe new life into the investment vehicle. These companies have the side benefit of having been around for years, meaning someone kept paying the annual registration fees which stock promoters can tout as proof of the company's enduring nature. 7. Research the people behind the company. The FINRA report makes a not too vague reference to the founder of Hemp, Incorporated HEMP, and Medical Marijuana, Incorporated MJNA, a convicted pot felon who promotes himself as a former cannabis kingpin. While that may not concern pot people, cannabis felonies count as industry experience, right? Or recently MJNA was led by a group of Florida-based mortgage bankruptcy entrepreneurs, one of whom resigned as CEO after being federally charged in a mortgage fraud ring. Before dumping your hard-earned cash into a marijuana stock investment opportunity, do your due diligence. Even if pot made you a pretty penny in the past, pot penny stocks are unlikely to do the same in the future. Heed the warning from FINRA and don't get suckered by pot stock hunters.
Article number 3. Marijuana. Bank on it. U.S. Representative Denny Hick. From Seattle PI Blog. Take it away.
Marijuana. Bank on it. U.S. Rep. Denny Hick by Joel Connolly. Source, Seattle PI Blog. The legitimate marijuana businesses operating in Washington and other states should be given access to America's financial institutions, instead of being forced to operate in a risky, cash-only economy, U.S. Rep. Denny Hick, D., Washington, told an Olympia symposium Thursday night. Hick and Republican Earl Perlmutter, D., Colorado, are principal co-sponsors of a bill, the Marijuana Business Access to Banking Act, which would allow cannabis businesses to use banks and credit unions so long as they comply with laws in their states. The legislation has drawn 25 House co-sponsors, spanning the ideological spectrum. As Washington moves to implement Initiative 502, which legalizes, regulates and taxes recreational marijuana use by adults, the state must do so in the safest and best way possible, Hick said. One big issue is how businesses set up to grow and sell marijuana under a 502 will operate, when it comes to their finances. Under current federal law, legitimate marijuana businesses cannot access the traditional financial system. For example, they cannot use banks or credit unions, and they cannot accept credit card payments, Heck said. By prohibiting these legitimate marijuana businesses from using the financial system, they are forced to operate on a cash-only basis. That makes it difficult for them to pay taxes, and it makes them difficult to audit. It also places employees and storefronts at risk for robbery and violent crime, as some retail locations may have thousands of dollars in cash at any given point in time. Heck and Perlmutter both sit on the House Financial Services Committee, which has jurisdiction over the country's banking industry. They represent the two states, Washington and Colorado, that took the big jump last November and voted to legalize recreational use. The growing and possession of marijuana remains illegal under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, which classifies marijuana along with heroin as a Schedule I drug. The Obama administration has yet to say what its policy will be toward Washington and Colorado, only that simple pot possession is not a high federal law enforcement priority. Reform is in the air across the country. 21 states and the District of Columbia allow for some form of legal marijuana use, with 19 states permitting medical marijuana. I believe this is a piece of legislation everyone can support, regardless of one's views on whether adult marijuana usage should be made legal, Heck said. This is fundamentally an anti-crime bill, and one that will make our communities safer. The anti-drug bureaucracies in both the United States and Canada have resisted decriminalization and legalization, despite overwhelming evidence that the multi-billion dollar marijuana trade is largely controlled by Mexican drug cartels and in Canada Asian and biker gangs. It's time Congress acknowledges states' reform efforts and updates federal law so these states can implement their marijuana laws properly and safely, Heck said. Heck is, in private life, an entrepreneur, an original investor in Real Networks and a co-founder of the TVW Public Affairs Television Network. He's also a realist. While the odds of this legislation passing this Congress are slim, we will continue pressing forward with it, he said.
Article number 4. Colorado legal marijuana industry shaping up to be expensive for would-be ganjapreneurs. Take it away.
Colorado's legal marijuana industry shaping up to be expensive for would-be ganjapreneurs. By Kristen Wyatt. Source, The Associated Press. Want to be in the legal pot industry in Colorado? Open your checkbook. Colorado's pot regulators opened 3 days of hearings Tuesday to lay out licensing specifics before retail sales begin in January. The proposed rules require would-be ganjapreneurs to pay up to $5,000 just to apply to be in the recreational pot business. Operational licenses cost another $2,750 to $14,000. Those who want to sell both medical and recreational pot would have to pay double. Successful applicants must also pass a gauntlet of criminal background checks and residency requirements. The result is expected to be an industry that will have as much red tape as green leaves. Colorado is trying to show it can strictly regulate and control a drug that has been operating in the shadows for decades, despite the advent of medical marijuana more than a decade ago. Officials say steep application fees are needed to properly screen marijuana workers, checking fingerprints and screening out recent drug felons and people with possible ties to criminal drug cartels. Colorado will also be screening future marijuana businesses to make sure no owners live out of state, a requirement set forth by state lawmakers earlier this year. The residency requirements, which apply from owners all the way down to so-called bud tenders who man the counters and measure out marijuana, are a holdover from Colorado's existing medical marijuana industry. The hefty operational license fees, according to state officials, are needed to pay for enforcement of the nascent industry. Plans call for an ambitious seed-to-sale tracking system in which Colorado will require video surveillance of all plants as they grow and are prepared, packaged and sold to customers. The Department of Revenue aimed to use seed-to-sale tracking for Colorado's medical marijuana business, but the agency ran out of money before getting the program fully operational. State officials said Tuesday they plan to have the plant tracking system operational by October. The department wants to avoid a budget shortfall and tracking glitches in the larger recreational market, so operational fees are high. Retail stores will have to pay $3,750 to $14,000 a year, depending on their size. Growers will pay $2,750 a year. Some in the industry complained Tuesday that Colorado is setting high fees before knowing what it will cost to enforce a brand new industry. The marijuana industry is especially upset about double licensing fees faced by sellers of both recreational and medical pot. Michael Elliott, head of the Denver-based Medical Marijuana Industry Group, complain that Colorado is charging steep fees with no rational basis in the costs of enforcement. He said pot shop owners should get a break on licensing fees if they want to sell pot to both medical patients, who will pay lower taxes and be able to buy up to 2 ounces, and recreational pot users, who must be over 21 and have lower purchasing limits. It's not going to cost twice as much to enforce the law at a dual-use facility. It's going to cost more, but not twice as much, Elliott said. A patient advocate who's not in the industry complained that the regulation should require advance notice if medical shops plan to stop selling medical pot. Terry Robnan worried that many of Colorado's 600 or so medical marijuana shops will simply switch to all recreational to avoid doubling their fees, leaving patients without a designated provider. Patients ultimately will suffer, she said. Once the retail stores clear all the tests for state licensing, they're not done yet. Local governments can add their own layers of specialized licensing and zoning requirements, taking up to a year to review applications for would-be recreational pot shops. Local governments can also ban the retail sale of marijuana altogether, as many have already opted to do. The state's final retail pot regulations will be final by mid-October. Retail sales may begin January 1st, though many municipalities including Denver may not be ready by then and will start recreational sales later.
All right, listeners, that's all I have for this week. Just keep on listening. I'll keep on bringing you content. And soon enough, I will unveil my project. Okay, until next week, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.